Blog Talk Radio.
Bringing voices to power. Grassroots mouthpiece.
It's the rap. Hip hop. The rap.
They can't stop us. United Voices with Sherry Saunders. Sundays 5 to 7. The Child Support Hustle is real. You can catch the Child Support Hustle show Saturdays from 5 to 7 with co-hosts Drew D and Kenya R. The Child Support Hustle is real. Bringing voices to power. Catch me on HuntsvilleBlack.com. That's HuntsvilleBlack.com. Let your voice be heard on HuntsvilleBlack.com. Don't miss the Grassroots Mouthpiece Show, Tuesdays from 8 to 10, bringing voices to power.
To the rap, hip hop.
Bringing voices to power.
Okay, in this episode of the Grassroots Mouthpiece, I talk with Peter Proctor, candidate for Huntsville City District 1, about the importance of this year's election. We'll also talk about his plan of a performing arts district being all the buzz and also being copied, integrated, and dressed up by other candidates. The one thing District 1 needs is economic prosperity for the citizens living there. It's long overdue. Good morning, Mr. Proctor. How's it going?
Good morning, Marcus. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing all right. Just here looking at all the candidates and all the races that we got out there. A lot of important races going on the 23rd, and I think there's going to be a high turnout simply because so many of the races are contested and contentious. We got the school board races that's heating up with a lot of rhetoric coming from both sides, going back and forth. and a lot of old hurts coming out in this election when it concerns a District 1 school district, and good ideas being put forth on both sides. So I like to see a good hot political debate with people coming out with everything they got. Tell us, first thing I want to hear about is this performing arts district, which I personally know that you've been talking about for years and years. And now I see other candidates integrating it into their plan and their platform. But more than that, I'm hearing a lot on the street grassroots level that this is what the people really want. So what do you want to tell us about this performing arts district?
What I would like to say about this performing arts district, it's been a vision of mine for many, many years. Of course, I shared the other night at the forum there at St. John's Church downtown that, you know, I lived in Miami, Florida for about 7 years, traveled in and out of Dallas, Texas for a year or more. And in each of those communities, the arts was very, very fundamentally a part of their community. And when I learned what I learned about Miami is that, you know, the being that it is a melting pot of people from all over the world. Of course, you know that even Huntsville is a melting pot. It's just now become a homestead city. It used to be transit. You used to have people from all over the world, military families traveling in and out. But getting back to the point is that a performing arts district is a solution for the kids in North Huntsville getting out of the street and getting money into the hands and creating an economic engine for the entertainment industry here in Huntsville, Alabama. Of course, you know that we got all the magnet programs that have performing arts, but you don't have nowhere for them to go to earn money. Outside of high school, if they go on to college, they may not be able to afford to withstand a 2-year, 4-year journey, but they may need to just go right into the industry to make money to survive and to be contributing factors of their families. So I'm an advocate of having a district that brings economic prosperity and job opportunity naturally in North Huntsville. We know that it's a multimedia industry now. You got content providers, both for audio and video. You have to have arenas, indoor and outdoor. Of course, you know, the Civic Center is the oldest facility and the largest indoor facility that we have in Huntsville. I think that there's much needed venues to be built, and I can't think of nothing better than taking advantage of creating a performing arts district. We got the land mass in the north to be able to do it. I've proposed two different sites. I don't know if individuals had an opportunity to really get comprehensively involved with the plan that has been put on paper, but North Huntsville is the perfect area to create a performing arts district. We have a medical district. We have Cummins Research Park, one of the oldest parks in the country, right here in North Alabama, but it's all about research and development. So we need something that in the northwest sector of Huntsville, that we can create jobs, something that will be sustainable, something that will be viable, something that is just natural, and something that will retain the kids and the young professionals who are coming out of Huntsville through our educational system, that they can go right to work. So that's why I'm an advocate of the performing arts. We can get more specific, Marcus. You make some specific questions about the performing arts that may be expound upon at this time. Do you have any at this point?
Yeah, I was. What I was thinking is, I watched that forum the other night. I watched it twice, and I just didn't like the way that the AME Church had that set up. It seemed like, I'm not going to call the candidate's name, but it seemed like they had a cheat sheet but they had expounded answers and they shuffled through their pages before they answered. I mean, they had, you know, most of the people going off the cuff with what they knew and what they felt. And one of the candidates to me just seemed like they were scripted. And, but they did mention something about, all these payday lenders out there. So how would you construct this district, in a way to get people out of these payday loan situations? Because the valid points were made at that forum, and it's the best point you made was it's going to take an act of legislation to fix that, and that's going to be hard when most of those politicians down there are actually enacting legislation to make it easier. So what could a performing arts district do in that regard when it comes to payday lending and financing and helping the people in District 1?
Well, we always have heard of a saying about the starving artists. You know, starving artists never get paid until they're dead. And if they got things copyrighted, you know, their surviving family members get a chance to just eat off the work that they've done all their life. So being a starving artist, that also means that they're out there trying to get monies from family and friends, punting all the things they have just to achieve their aspirations, their dreams. But a solution that we have that is in our plan is to create a credit union that is designed for the performing artists. That includes promoters, producers, actors, the whole nine yards. And the reason why you want to have a credit union that will serve that particular populace is that it is out of the culture. Culture creates economy. Without ideas, dreams, and visions, without innovative concepts, without people being able to express things that is God-given, the world will be in a terrible place, because that's where money is made. Money is made off inventions, being innovative. And the performing artists need a source that understands their mentality, understand that they make a living off their creativity. So we're proposing to have a credit union that is going to be a part of a community development corporation that will serve that particular populace. Now, what's good about it is that the members of the credit union will also be shareholders that will have an opportunity to be able to profit off of any investments that the credit union make on behalf of supporting the artists that are members of this credit union. To me, is viable. And it's something that will happen naturally. I know right now that if we open the doors of a credit union for performing artists right now, just think of how many kids that are in high school right now that need a savings account. Maybe they want to go into business when they get out of high school or go on to college. But you can start teaching them how to save money and how to manage money. And then they can take their savings and leverage their monies along with other individuals and support their endeavors. So a credit union is a way that we can get away from these predatory lenders and to be able to profit at the same time while doing good.
Okay. And I read the letter from the Huntsville Department of Urban Development, and they seem very enthusiastic about the idea and willing to help. As a matter of fact, they said that proposal of putting that in the heart of Huntsville or putting it in the North Huntsville is a fantastic catalyst for redevelopment in the area. So you got the plan. You've had the plan for years and years now, and now the urban development has looked at the plan, and they're willing to go along with it. Now we just need the buy-in from the people. We just need the people of District 1 to support this performing arts district. It's something that could bring in revenue. And there's two locations actually proposed, and I know one is out by the Toyota plant. Okay, how can how can the people who live in the heart of District 1, I know they'll be the main workforce for the Performing Arts District. How about getting them back and forth to the site, if the site at Toyota is being chosen? Will they relocate? Will they have some type of transit system that would take them, or performing arts transit to take them back and forth to work? How would that work to actually get them to the site if it's located at, say, out by Toyota?
Well, we have two proposed locations for the Performing Arts District to develop and to create the engine that will cause even the housing area that's in North Huntsville to even go up in value. One of the locations is actually on Blue Spring Road, across the street from the shower center. Will be an excellent idea, one that has already been brought to the city as proposed idea for building the site there, to do a full-blown performing arts park that we envision would best be suited for out by Toyota, because the land mass is better. But across the street from the shower center will be an ideal place to build affordable housing for the artists who would be the workforce or the creative energy that is needed in order to have the entertainment industry to gravitate toward. So we're talking about affordable housing that will be multimedia ready, that will have suites that they can do home-based business opportunities there, and to be able to live there. And we will provide transportation shuttle services from our fixed location out to the park that will be designed to have a broadcast streaming company that will have indoor and outdoor arenas, rooftops, and restaurants that will be multimedia ready for broadcast streaming. And there's so many other things that we would be doing out there. I would hate to just share the total idea out there because, man, let me tell you, Marcus, I'm 54 years old. I've done a lot of research for a lot of people here in the Huntsville area, been involved in promotion, PR, marketing, advertising for years. And it seems as though that every research, every idea that I put on paper, take it to the powers that be. They take those ideas, put their name on it, and go forward. I've been very, very nice about accepting the idea that, hey, I just want the community to grow, and I want everybody to get on the same page for Huntsville. But I can no longer set aside and let the powers that be steal every idea that I've created and to take it for themselves, especially dealing with the creative community. Do you know that artists don't have anything but what God gives them? And when God gives them an idea or to give them a gift to go forward, I don't think that anybody ought to stagnate the growth of that person or to block them out to their own profitability. I think that.
But that's some of the problem. Yeah, if I can just cut in right here, that's some of the problem that I see in the African American community a whole lot. And a lot of our elected officials and community leaders are guilty of this. If the idea, no matter how good it is, if the idea didn't originate with them, or if they have to include the originator of the idea, they're not going to have it. And that's just a sad state of affairs. Black people, African-American people have got to get out of this idea of not supporting good ideas because you don't like the person who had the idea, or because you can't take ownership of the idea. We got to get away from that. That's what these type of attitudes and these type of way of doing business is hurting the overall community. Now, I don't know what it is about an elected office that causes people to get into these type of mind frames that they have to act like this. But it's childish, it's silly, and it's a shame and a disgrace to our people when we have African-American organizations, too. We got a lot of organizations, too, throwing out endorsements all over the place. These people do not really have any. The only thing they do have is money to give to the candidate that's going to be closely to what they think. Now, if you have a person, an organization donating money to a person, trying to get a person elected or reelected, and that person has never done anything for the community, you got to question that organization, not just that candidate. We need to start questioning these organizations who are backing people that the grassroots community, regular folks, are tired of. Why would you come in and endorse somebody, give them a whole bunch of money to hang on to power when you know the majority of people don't want them? That lets you know there's something very suspicious and shaky and backdoor going on. Now, I just wanted to put that in there, that we have a problem in the African-American community of not accepting great ideas because they're not our own. And if we can't own it, we don't want to see it happen. And that's got to stop. That's what's hurting the community right now. That has got to stop. You need to take good ideas and enact them no matter where they come from if the ideas are designed to help the community as a whole. All this selfishness, self-centeredness, and thinking that you are the one that's going to bring back economic opportunity or you're not going to let anybody else do it, we got to get away from that. We're in trouble. We're economically in trouble in District 1, and we've got to make some changes. I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, and the millennials, these new young professionals, you know, we supposed to have a set a standard. But if the standard that we have is that it's about stealing money, it's about stealing ideas, it's about stealing programs or what may have you, what do you think these young folks are going to do? These young folks right now, believe it or not, Marcus, they are angry at the leadership that have seen these last 30 years. Now, I'm 54 years old.
Rightfully so.
I'm 54 years old, and it was brought to my attention about a week ago when I was talking to some of my peers. And they said, Proctor, man, he said, you know what? We have had no representation in our age group. He said, just think about what has happened the last 30 years on the leadership level, is that we have had no representation. Everything that has been proposed have been shot down, stolen, and what may have you. He said, now we're looking at another generation that's coming forth, and we look at those individuals who are coming behind me, who is half my age. How do you think that they're going to be successful when those who are two times their age have not got their equity? They have not got their equity out of the system because the system is so politically corrupt, or everybody's in his clique of who you know, that it begins to hurt the whole community. And that's one reason why I'm running. It's about policies. It's about ordinance. It's about zoning. It's about things that can create the economic catalyst that especially African-Americans in North Huntsville can get out of the mode of give me, give me, give me. And they're in that mode of give me, give me, because the system have made it just so easy for people to accept public housing easy, to accept food stamps easy, whatever. Now, I don't have anything against public housing or food stamps, but I just want everybody to understand that when the city of Huntsville looks at North Huntsville, they look at North Huntsville not being a contributor in taxes, in new dollars being generated. And so that's why they moved downtown into North Huntsville. You know, the residents that was living, the removal program, they have no respect. And the leadership who have been in place, Marcus, yeah, they ought to be ashamed of themselves. Really, they ought to be ashamed of themselves because they were part of voting on certain things that has happened. Now, I wasn't even in Huntsville when they decided to have a Martin Luther King Center, but who would want to put Martin Luther King Center in a project? Just think about that. You know, and so yeah. now being conscious, we got to now help arise the consciousness of others to say, guess what? What will happen if we got 100 new entrepreneurs every year that is coming out of Huntsville that's trying to create something that will create economic prosperity and job opportunities? The hood zones that's not taken advantage of. Now, they will go on and say, well, we're not educated enough. Just think about when you go downtown to get a loan. You can't get a loan with somebody saying, well, hey, I live in a project. You know, you can't get a loan if you're telling somebody that you just filed bankruptcy or you lost cars or houses. Now, you got to understand, black folks are not the only folks who have filed bankruptcy, have lost cars and houses or what may have you. And I think that is a stigma that is on us. And so those individuals who live in our community are suffering right now because of the mentality that has been imposed upon them. And they don't even want to go and represent at school board meetings, at PTAs or whatever. We're talking about the people who are living in North Huntsville who have kids in school. I was at First Baptist 2 weeks ago when the DOJ came to Huntsville and had no answers for anybody other than the fact that we will address everything 6 to 9 months after we see what happens. Well, if we stay 6 to 9 months behind, guess what's going to happen? We can't uproot buildings. We can't tear down things that have been invested in. So we have to get ahead of the game. And our elected officials have failed us as it relates to informing the community of what's coming down the pipeline. And that's why I want to bring accountability and transparency. I don't care if I have to have a go camera on my head when I go about in my dealings in representing District 1, because we need to know what's happening. We don't need to let it be an after fact. And if we don't move right now, we won't be a part of the big picture. The big picture that Mayor Battle has for the city of Huntsville being one altogether, we're not one. We're still divided here in Huntsville. And a performing arts district will allow the residents of North Huntsville to be able to rise up, to pull up their, be pulled up by their own bootstraps. Don't have to ask for handouts, because now you have an institution that you can save monies with a credit union that is designed to cater to the people who can create a performing arts district, can create jobs that is already fundamentally being designed coming out of the magnet programs here in the city of Huntsville. So it just makes sense to offer something that is natural. Now, everybody else, Marcus, they got pictures of things, but they don't have no bona fide renderings. They don't even have the bona fide investors and everybody that it takes to make this thing happen. Because I know this. I've been working for over a year and a half, and I already know where I am just dealing with investors, dealing with all the things that it takes to make it happen. But as it relates to a plan that has been accepted exclusively, and I would be at rage, because I've had the conversation with the city of Huntsville that a performing arts district and a concept that have been shared with them that they have, that I don't want no duplication, and I want a fair opportunity to make this happen. And they know the history of the elected officials and people who worked in education at high places, judges, and everybody who have got in cahoots and shot down everything that I've done. For instance, I'm going to go ahead and mention this. It's a good opportunity because people may ask, what have Peter Proctor done? But the Lewis Cruz Classic was created off the material, off the research, and off the money, and off the setting of the events for 3 years as a palette at Alabama A&M University under the Rocket City Classic. The Rocket City Classic. And when they blocked me at Alabama A&M, I just said, well, okay, well, if A&M don't want to participate, then guess what? I go to the Huntsville City School. I went there and got approved there with a contract signed, and I had to go through holy hell to be able to have this event. And lo and behold, guess what, Marcus? The people at Alabama A&M, the people at Alabama A&M still blocked my project on a high school level. And sitting, I remember seeing myself sitting at a table with all the elected officials, all of the ones that represent us in the African-American district we met one Monday morning at their meeting there at a local restaurant. And even Laura McCauley was at that meeting. And do you know that they actually blocked $26,000, in which $13,500 was going to one school and the rest going to the other school, and they was going to rotate every year? Do you know that they turned that project down? It hurted me tremendously. And tell me today, who was giving, at that time, Johnson High School, who was giving Johnson High School money every year, giving them money every year? Who was giving Lee High School money every year with a project that showcased what we could do in North Huntsville? So that right there taught me a lot about the politics and how selfish we are. So in going forward, this Performing Arts District is the greater outcome of a vision that has been formulated in the making for years. So we're going to fight for this thing. A lot of people don't know that we're going to work with HMAP. HMAP is Huntsville Metro Action Partnership, Community Development Corporation, for profit, to make this happen. So I'm excited, and I just wanted to come out today to let everyone know that I'm about progress and accountability. You know, I have a great plan. I am a good man, and I can. You know, I'm going to fight for what is right, and I'm going to serve as a guiding light. And I know that God is with me on this. We know that we have to study the candidates that are running and say who is ready to make a difference if they go in within a 45-day, 60-day period, who can unify this community and to go forth with economics, be able to create jobs. And I know that Councilman Showers have supported me. Councilman Showers have supported me for years. And Councilman Showers know the great evil and injustice that Alabama A&M done with the project for the Rocket City Classic. Now, I didn't have any problem with Alabama A&M having a classic. I mean, that's a no-brainer. But guess what? They did not think of a classic at the time that I thought of the classic. And they did not come up with the brand Rocket City that will include everybody. But Louis Cruz only, that was told to me, even when I went into the white community, about having a classic here in Huntsville. You know what their thoughts was? That the Louis Cruz Classic was just another black homecoming. And that was told to me. And I want people to know that. So if you have two black homecomings, why would you get sponsors who feel like that they only want to serve you one time anyway? But the whole idea is that I brought to the table is that with a Rocket City Classic, we can represent this great city of Huntsville, and it will not be divided, and it will represent all people of Huntsville. And so that was a no-brainer to me, and it devastated me and my family. I lost over $120,000 in 3 years of my own money. And so do you know this day Alabama A&M have never, ever given me an apology, have done anything to make it right with me, and the original material that I had to give them, they still got it and never gave it back to me. So what do you call that? I call that stealing. Okay,
yeah,
I don't care if it's money or whatever, but I'm just telling you that that infuriated me big time, and God has brought me to a point and say, as long as they don't put Rocket City anywhere close to Louis Cruz's name, there won't be no problem. But if Louis Cruz become Rocket City insinuated, there will be a problem. And I'm just telling you this not out of anger, but I'm just saying that I'm tired of people not only stealing money from people, but I'm tired of people stealing ideas that kills their spirit in their livelihood. So that's why I'm running.
Yeah. And the people that's stealing the ideas. Yeah, and that's just a sign that the people stealing ideas, the only person that steals ideas is a person who have ran out of ideas on their own.
Yeah, so that's nothing. I'm a cool out because anybody that's probably listening right now, they probably say, "Well, Peter Proctor have a problem with his Audemars." I don't. Anybody who know me know I even done a project for Alabama and them called the J-Bo MVP. I did it for 7 years. Marcus, you know why that program is not going today? And to show you the success of that program, we had over eight athletes. We had over eight athletes to go on to pros because of the program that I brought to Alabama A&M. Okay, did you know that Alabama A&M sports information directors at that time did not have a big budget to really handle their business or to be able to give exposure to the athlete, being that I was a small person in stature, wasn't going to go to the pros or whatever, and know that the only thing stopped me was my size and exposure for being at an HBCU. But nevertheless, for 7 years, I traveled with Alabama A&M out of my own pocket, not an expense of the university. And I promoted that program for 7 years. But let me tell you what killed that program. The year that Mr. Mullins, who are no longer here with us today, gone on home, he was running against Loretta Spencer for mayor. And he came to A&M's football game. And during that game, I got a call from the president at that time, who was President Gibson. And he told me, don't give the J-Bo MVP away. Because Mr. Mullins is going to give away. Now, let me tell you something. This is our mentality. You rather destroy the incentives of your athletes and a probability of them being marketed and exposed for somebody giving you some money, in order to say that the MVP is given away by a candidate who's running for mayor. Boy, that was absurd to me. When I got that call, so don't give that away. I knew right then that it not only was breaking my spirit, but it was breaking the spirit of the program. And because I was not on their payroll, guess what I did, Marcus? I took the program away, and ever since then, Alabama A&M has struggled with attendance, okay? They got a new stadium, but they don't have nobody out there who truly know how to fill that stadium up. You know, so I know what I know. I do research, and I work hard. But I'm just saying that Peter Proctor, you know, he's back. He's better than ever. And this is the first time that I see an opportunity to go back with the right positive spirit to do something for my hometown, to do something which I can do.
And it's really feeling like District 1 is ready for that, you know. They're ready for it. They're ready to break ground. I mean, shovel to ground, you know, shovel ready to go ahead and get the project started and not come together. Like I heard one of the candidates, she's proposing that together a committee and sit down and come up with ideas. If you don't have any ideas right now, you know, you shouldn't even be in a race. I mean, if you're talking about we'll get some ideas when we get together, you should already have something that you can bring to the people to show the people that, hey, this can work and it has backing. And your plan has both of those. You know, it's a plan that can work and it's a plan that has backing from the city. When was the last time the city backed or endorsed a new project in North Huntsville that's going to keep money and put money into the pockets of the people, into the people of District 1? We haven't had that in a long time. And now is the time when you got the city on board. It's time for the people to move. Okay, you want to say any last things, how somebody can help your campaign, where they can get in contact you with? Any Facebook pages, Twitter pages, anything like that? How can people get in touch with you to help in this campaign to bring a performing arts district to North Huntsville, because it's coming.
Yes, it's coming, and because the stage and the work has been done. You know, the ideas that I've heard that other people have come up with, there's nothing more than feeding off the inspiration that has been brought to the table with a lot of sweat, blood, and tears. And that's what I'm excited about, is that to be able to work with a lot of people who see that this is something that will be good for our city. And what I want to do is to those people who are interested in supporting me, we got to get out the vote. Yeah, I've seen the ballot. Yeah, I want y'all to know about the ballot. To me, everything is all rigged. But I need you to know that I want you to go to the polls on August the 23rd with it in your mind on who you're going to vote for. I'm going to be running for City Council District 1. You'll see my name listed as number four on the list. You will see Robert Hewlett Jr., number one. You will see Michelle Johnson, number two. You will see Devin Keith, number three. Then you will see Peter Proctor, number four. And then you will see Councilman Showers, Richard Showers, at the number five spot. Now, I tell you, I don't know what the formula that they come up with for being listed on the ballots, but Mayor Tommy Battle is number one for the city spot. You have Laura McCauley. She's number one on the educational spot. But I'm here to tell you right now that don't let nobody give you a hot dog, hamburger, a ride to the poll in a sheet of paper and tell you who to vote for. We're more intelligent than that. We got these young professionals who are coming up, the millennials, who can read, write, and count. And to me, it ought to be illegal for us to take a ballot that has been paid for by taxpayers and it be altered for parties to be able to bubble in and to give people that. To me, that's influencing the vote. That's influencing the vote. And I think that we need to rethink that. The ADC in New South has been doing it for ever since I can remember. And I've been involved in politics ever since 1988. I think it's time for people to show up at the poll. And if they want to ask for somebody's name or somebody, the workers out there saying vote for Peter Proctor, then vote for Peter Proctor if it's in your heart or you have done your homework. But to give somebody a sheet of paper and say follow this sheet of paper, I think is dead wrong. We are more intelligent than that. When you go to the black polls, that's what happens at the black polls. But I guarantee you, you look at the other polls, yeah. Marcus, when people come out there, they be saying, oh, please, don't give me that. I don't need that. I know who I'm going to vote for. I want the people to go to the polls and to vote for Peter Pointer on August the 23rd, City Council, District 1. I'm passionate about what I want to do for the city of Huntsville, not just for myself, but for the residents of the city of Huntsville and especially in northern Huntsville. And I can't tell you nothing but the truth. The Committee of 100 is not backing me. They know that Peter Proctor has a mind. He's educated. He can write for himself. He can read for himself. If he doesn't understand, he knows how to surround himself with people of integrity, with people who want the district to flourish. I don't need nobody who got money to finance black elected officials in order for them to be in a pocket. And to remind you, you know that at the forum, Will Culver got up and told the whole audience that when you receive money from the Committee of 100 that you bought, they got strings on you. So what do that mean?
Yeah.
Anybody who has been considered, anybody who has been considered.
With that, we're gonna go ahead on and close on out the show. But I want to encourage people to get to the polls on the 23rd and vote your conscience. Vote who you know is gonna bring some things to the district that has never been brought, something that has city backing. The city is on board and they're ready to break ground with a performing arts district that's been long in the works by Peter Proctor.
Thank you, Marcus.
We'll see you all.